Good morning, everyone. Let's look at our two Bible readings for this morning. The first one is from Psalm chapter 16, and the second one will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 28. Let's read Psalm 16. A Miktam of David. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now let's read our sermon passage, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 28. But if it is preached that Christ has not been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, in fact, if the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all.
Thank you, Esther. Me again? You must be sick of me by now. I've been up that much. But I'm not sick of you guys, though. It's great to be up here again. And particularly to look into that second reading together, because they're wonderful words. Well, who is Jesus to you? That's the question we've been asking our community in the lead up to this new series. We've now built four talks on it. And today's talk is Jesus everything or nothing? Who is Jesus to you? A few weeks ago, I was meeting up with someone, and so on my Uber drive there and back, I asked the drivers that question, who is Jesus to you? One of the drivers, he was a Sikh, and he said that, oh, Jesus, he was that guy from the Bible, but he wasn't real, he's just that guy in the Bible. The other driver, he had a Christian background. When I asked him the question, he affirmed all the things you'd expect from a Christian. He said Jesus is the Son of God and all of that. But when he started sharing about his own life, it was clear that it didn't really make much difference to his life. He was quite busy building a career and sorting out his house. These two people had very different views of Jesus. But I think the bottom line was the same. Jesus is nothing. Didn't matter whether you're a Sikh or a Christian, for them, Jesus didn't make any difference to their life. What do you think about that? The bit of the Bible we're looking at today, it makes a very different point. It says this, if you're convinced Jesus came back from the dead, then it should turn your life upside down. If you believe Jesus rose from the dead, then the headline for your life should be this. Jesus is everything. Jesus changes everything. He's significant for every part of life, both now and into eternity. So is Jesus nothing, or is Jesus everything? To help us explore this, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15, a passage from there. This was a letter written by a guy named Paul, and he wrote this letter to Christians in a place called Corinth, about 20 years after Jesus died and rose again. And the first thing Paul tells us today is that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then Jesus is irrelevant. And worse than that, Christianity is a hoax. It's worth noting as we come to this passage that some of the people this letter was written to, they had this interesting idea. And they were saying that those who believed in Jesus wouldn't rise from the dead on the last day. Their view is Christians die and that's it, game over. But Paul says this makes no sense. We see this in verse 12. If you've got your handouts, you can read along. If you've got your Bibles, open it up to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read these words together. Verse 12, Paul says, this kind of view makes no sense. But if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? And then verse 13, he explains why their view is so problematic. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. You see, essential to the Christian belief is that Jesus rose from the dead. But if there's no resurrection, then Christianity, it unravels very quickly. I was on an online group chat recently, and this question was posted on the thread. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, would you still be a Christian? Here's what one person said. Yes, I would, because his teaching alone are enough to warrant following. And another person said, it would be a nice bonus if Jesus rose, but it's not crucial to their faith. They would still be a Christian too. Now, these answers, they might sound measured or noble, but it actually doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And Paul says in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's pointless. Paul almost sounds a bit harsh here. Your faith is a waste of space. Move on. But that's how important the resurrection is to the Christian faith. During Jesus' time on earth, he predicted, he told people he was going to die on the cross. He was going to deal with sin on the cross. And he predicted, he said to people, and then he'll rise again 3 days later. And the Christian faith, it's grounded in the fact that both of these things really did happen. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then it means he's either crazy or he's a con man. And either way, he's definitely not trustworthy. He's not someone you can put your faith in. And if you do this and his claims are not true, it's just foolish. It's a sad waste of life. As Paul says of Christians in verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. I'm a Christian, and I remember when I was practicing in law, and I told my peers that I was going to go into ministry, and their response was really interesting. They were really happy for me. They were pumped because I was doing something I believed in and that was good. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and they didn't think he did, then they shouldn't be happy for me. They shouldn't admire my gullibility. They should feel sorry for me. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we should reject Christianity because no one should waste their life on a lie. Has anyone here seen the Truman Show? I remember watching it as a kid. Yeah, a few nods, a few hands up. That's good. I'm not alone. Jim Carrey, he plays Truman. Truman, he grew up in this picturesque, perfect town. He had loving parents, a great wife, and good friends. But over time, his life, it begins to unravel. The people around him, they seem a bit strange. They're a bit staged. They keep repeating the same lines over and over again, and their routines are more or less the same. And at one point, the sun just kind of spontaneously falls out of the sky. That's a bit unusual too. And eventually, Truman comes to realize the truth. He was born into a TV show, and he's the main character. His whole life had been a lie. Now, when Truman finds out that his life is a lie, what do you think he does? He decides, oh, well, this life is pretty nice. I've got good mates, a lovely wife, you know. My career's looking pretty good. They're actors, but, you know, who cares? It's all good. He doesn't, does he? No one would do that. Instead, what he does is he does everything he can to escape his world. He pushes through every obstacle. He sails over these violent seas, even though he's got a phobia of water. Until eventually he hits a wall, literally. His boat, it hits the edge of the set, and he finds a door and he walks through it. Truman does everything he can to bust out of that fake world and embrace reality. And just for a moment, I want to chat to people here who might have been raised as a Christian. If this is you, I want to say you need to wrestle with the resurrection of Jesus. It doesn't matter if you have loving parents, good mates at youth group, you think Jesus' teaching is good for life. In the end, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then Christianity is a lie. Your life has been built on a lie, and you should bust out of that world. And if you're someone who's still looking into Jesus and trying to figure out who he is, then save some time and start at the resurrection. Because if you conclude that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it would be pointless to take it any further. But can I also ask you, what would convince you that Jesus rose from the dead? Coming back to our passage, and we see that for Paul, the one who wrote this letter, he became totally convinced that Jesus did rise from the dead, that he beat death. Have a look at verse 20. Paul says this. He says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. It almost seems like an overstatement, right? How can Paul be so confident of this amazing thing? And to understand this, we need to know a little bit more about Paul's life. Paul was someone who used to be as anti-Christian as they came. He would persecute Christians. He was happy if they died. He didn't like Jesus and he didn't like their followers. But he had an experience that turned his life upside down. He went from hating Jesus and persecuting Christians to being a follower of Jesus, who eventually gave up his own life so people could come to know him. What was Paul's life-changing experience? It was the same experience that transformed lots of Jesus' closest friends and disciples. They went from doubting Jesus and even abandoning him when he was arrested and crucified. None of them thought he would rise from the dead. They went from that to, like Paul, giving up their lives to tell people about Jesus. And it's the same experience that converted James into a believer. And I find this extraordinary. I mean, think about it. So James, he was a brother of Jesus. Mary was their mum. And before Jesus was killed, James doubted Jesus' claim that he was the saviour of the world. And I don't blame him. I mean, who here has siblings? You know, hands up if you've got a sibling. Yeah, there's a few. Yep, I do too. And I have to say, it would take something extraordinary to persuade me that one of my siblings is the saviour of the world. Wouldn't it for you too? But like Paul, like his disciples, James went from being a doubter of Jesus to risking his life to tell people about Jesus. What happened to all these people that turned their lives upside down? They all met the risen Jesus. They met the risen Jesus. Now, if you look into the Jesus resurrection and you conclude what they concluded and what so many other people have concluded, that Jesus did rise from the dead, that's extraordinary, isn't it? People don't rise every day. It's an extraordinary event. But there's a follow-up question we've got to ask as well. So what? Why would believing that Jesus rose from the dead make any difference to my life or your life? Does it actually change anything? Or is it a bit like a spectator sport? You know, you might go to a footy match at Adelaide Oval, you cheer or you boo, either your team wins or it doesn't win, but you go home, it doesn't have any lasting impact on your life. Jordan Peterson, he's a Canadian psychologist and media commentator. And we're going to see a part of his interview where he's asked why he tends to dodge this question about whether Jesus actually rose from the dead or not. Have a listen to what he has to say. Thinks it probably happened, but he has no idea what it means, so he just leaves it alone. But today Paul says, not only has Jesus definitely risen because he's seen the risen Jesus, but also it makes a world of difference. And that's what we're going to explore now for the rest of our time. Firstly, if Jesus rose, then it means we can be forgiven by God for all our sins. As Paul says in verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Recently, a friend, he told me how he still regrets how when he was younger, he bullied someone in high school. Decades later, he still feels that sense of guilt and shame for that. And he told me, I hope this guy has kind of moved on and that it hasn't impacted him. Do you identify with that feeling? I know I do. We've all got things from our past that we regret and we hold on to. The things we should have done but didn't. The things we did do and now regret. The twisted thoughts and feelings we've had in the quiet of our heart. These are the things that drive a wedge in our relationship with other people and ultimately with our relationship with God. But what can we actually do about it? How do we deal with our mistakes? You could go see a therapist. You could try and be a nicer person to make up for it. You could try and suppress it or have wishful thoughts like my friend that hopefully it's all sorted itself out. Ultimately, none of these things work in the end. Instead, like sponges that have been thrown in a bucket of liquid, you know, over time, we just fill up with more and more reasons to feel shame and guilt, and we become more weighed down by them. And we have no way of dealing with it. And the Bible teaches us that because God is sovereign over all and he's loving and just, there's a final day where he will hold everyone to account for those things. But that's the difference the resurrection makes. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, it's a package deal. And the resurrection, it's like God's stamp of approval that Jesus really did what he said he would do on the cross. On the cross, Jesus dealt with our sins once and for all. He took the punishment we deserve for our sins. If you trust in Jesus, it's like God takes that sponge that is your life, weighed down by guilt and shame, and he just rinses it out entirely. God forgives you everything. And he does it so you can come back into a loving relationship with him and his family. If Jesus rose, it means we can be forgiven by God. And secondly, it means we have hope beyond the grave. As the saying goes, there are two things guaranteed in life, death and taxes. Yep, you can actually dodge taxes really, but you can't dodge death, can you? And it's what the Bible refers to as the curse of Adam. In the beginning, God made this world and he made us to be in loving relationship with him, with others, with his world. And because God is the source of all life, as long as we were in relationship with him, we'd live. But ever since Adam, the first man, all humanity has rebelled against God, cut ourselves off from God. And from that time on, there's been one common pathway for all people. It's life, and then death, and then God's final judgment for sins. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then nothing has changed. No forgiveness now, and no hope in the future. And all humanity is just on this lifeless pathway. But as Paul says in verse 18, and as Paul says in verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Christianity means nothing. But if Jesus has risen, then there's something more. There's something wonderful. Because just as Adam is the champion of death, Jesus is the champion of life. As Paul says in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Without the resurrection, everyone follows Adam's pathway. Sin, death, judgment, it's the way of suffering and it's what everyone goes through. But Jesus' resurrection, it unlocks this new path for us, a new future. Jesus, he's the trailblazer. And when we look at him, we see what life can be for anyone who trusts in him. Jesus is what our passage refers to as the first fruits. Take a look at verse 20 with me. Paul says this, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does it mean that in Christ in his resurrection, he's the first fruits? Imagine for a moment, you're a farmer You have an orchard, and you're looking over your orchard in the early days of spring, and you see that first juicy apple of the season. And you can't wipe the smile off your face because you know what this means. It means a bumper crop is coming. Jesus' resurrection, he shows us that he is the first fruit. He's the first one to step out of the grave. But his resurrection is also a signal to the world. It's a signal that there is a bumper crop of risen people to come. This is the hope we have in Jesus. All who trust in Jesus will rise to new life just like him. They'll have bodies that will never creak or break just like him. And they'll be in loving relationship with God and his people and the new creation for all eternity just like him. There's some things that are amazing in life that make no difference to what we do. You know, Neil Armstrong, he was the first man to walk on the moon in 1969. I believe it happened, but I don't think it's impacted me that much in my day-to-day life. But it's not the same with Jesus' resurrection. If Jesus rose, it changes everything. Jesus is where you find forgiveness and real hope. And the decision to trust him, it has significance for every part of your life, for how you think, for your affections, for how you live out life, everything, both now and into eternity. So I want to ask each of us here today, what do you think about Jesus' resurrection? Does it make any difference to your life? As we saw in the Roxby Downs video before, a team of us were recently away on a mission to Roxby Downs. We took a group of youth from our church. They ran a kids program, they ran a youth program, so that a bunch of people could come to know Jesus. And one of the key things we did was that week-long kids program. And on the last day, the parents got invited to come along and see what the kids were doing. And during that time, I had conversations with two parents, and they both shared how their kids had been coming home and telling them all the things that they'd learned. Like a daddy came home from work after a night shift, and the girl said, "Dad, did you know God's fingerprints are everywhere?" He's like, "What? What's going on?" So I chatted to these two parents, and they both shared about this. And so I asked them, "Would you be interested in looking into Jesus too?" The first man, he seemed a little bit interested, but he also said he had other priorities. He had work. He was renovating his family home. And maybe that's your story here today. There's other priorities in your life. And so your response to the question is, not yet. I'm not yet ready to look into Jesus. And if that's you, can I just urge you to reconsider? There's too much at stake with this claim of Jesus' resurrection. And if you were to look into it, a great place to start is to pick up a gospel. We've got Bibles on the table here. You can take one home as a gift from us to you. Open up to one of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. These are historical accounts of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection. Have a look into that. Or maybe you want to know more about the historical evidence and the significance of the resurrection. There's some good books out there. One I can recommend is The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. It covers most of the questions people have. Whatever it is, don't put it off. And if you conclude that Jesus didn't rise, then you can move on. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, it's such good news, and you don't want to miss it. Do you want to look into Jesus? Maybe your answer is, I don't need to. I already believe he rose from the dead. But could it be that you're a bit like that second Uber driver I mentioned at the start? He said he was a Christian, but actually, when you looked at his life, it didn't really change much for him. And if that's you, something's not quite right. Because the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. And if you're trusting in that reality, it should change everything in your life, little by little. But it should have an impact. It should change our hopes and our aspirations. It should change the things we decide to do and the things we don't. Jesus changes everything. Coming back to the whole day program, there was a second parent who I asked that question to. And when I asked her, "Do you want to look into Jesus?" She looked me in the eyes and she said, "I really do." Now, I had to go and run the kids program, so I didn't get to finish the conversation with her, which is painful. So I gave her a gospel, connected her in with another Christian. And so I actually never got to find out what happened in her life that brought her to that point. It could have been like the other parent, you know, that guy who was investing in career and building the house. But unlike him, maybe she came to realize that that would never give her what she needed. Or maybe she was like another woman that our team met during the week, who was an atheist. For her, family was everything. But when her marriage blew up, that dream collapsed and she turned to alcohol to numb the pain. Or maybe she was like another man we met during the week. He was adopted as a kid and he spent his childhood and early adult life looking to belong somewhere. But he always felt forgotten, like no one was there to care for him. All these people we meet, they were hungry for more. And they tried to satisfy this hunger with a bunch of stuff, and it didn't work. But those three stories I mentioned, they had one thing in common. Their search was over because they met Jesus. They got to know him, and he's now the center of their lives. And he satisfies their hunger in a way that nothing else can. They know they're forgiven, loved, and restored to God. And they have the hope of eternity with him, a sure hope. Do you want to look into Jesus? My hope and prayer for everyone here today is, yes, I really do. And if that's you, we'd love to help you to look into Jesus. You can talk to me. You could talk to Coops on another Sunday when he's here, or you could talk to a Christian friend you know. We'd love to work through these things with you. Please come along to our life course we talked about before. 4 nights over 4 weeks where you can look into Jesus, ask all your questions, and please pick up a Bible on the way out. Open up to a gospel. Meet Jesus for yourself. Jesus is risen, and it changes everything. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, that in him we can be forgiven, loved, and restored to you now with a new and wonderful hope. Thank you that all this has been made possible through Jesus' death and resurrection. And no matter where we're up to today in our walk with Jesus, please help us to more deeply grasp the significance that his resurrection makes, that it might shape every part of our life for the better, both now and into eternity. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.